Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, how do you get your news? If you're on an iPad, you have more options than ever.
Plus, the best iPad dashboard ever. Make your photos works of art. And who's ready for a smash hit?
All that and iOS 7.1 is here.
Got it.
On iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by NatureBox, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine and get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like Southern Barbecue, Sunflower Kernels. Mm-mm. To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 280,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/iPad today to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace which connects people looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. iPad Today time.
You know, I missed you because we did not do a show live last Monday. We had a show.
You didn't miss me. You were in Miami Beach in the ocean enjoying the weather and the bikini. You didn't miss me. Don't lie. You were happy.
I was happy.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Fun.
Did you have fun?
Had a great time.
You got a little sun, I can tell.
Yeah, I kind of still got it, actually.
But now it looked like it was rainy. I saw a couple of pictures where the sun was just peeking out.
In the tropical climate, sometimes it'll rain for like 10 minutes.
Oh, it was like that. The morning rain and then it clears.
Still 85 degrees. Mm. You just sort of take cover and then you take your fruity drink back and go about your business. Actually, the weather was really nice.
And you brought it back with you. I want to thank you. It poured rain while you were gone.
Happy to help.
Yeah.
Well, I came back to Petaluma. I was only gone, 4 days, and all the blossoms are out? Literally happened overnight.
We're suddenly in the tropics.
You're an island where?
As are you.
I know. We didn't even call each other this morning and coordinate. It just happened.
It feels like spring is in the air.
Sorry to anybody who's still under 4 feet of snow.
There was a snowfall this weekend in some parts of the east. But, you know, it's almost over.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
Winter is...
Oh, no, that's Game of Thrones.
Winter is... Well, it... Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's happening. Game of Thrones, Veep is coming back in April.
I really like Veep.
Oh, it's so funny.
That is Elaine's show.
That's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Right. Elaine from Seinfeld.
She plays the vice president.
And it's loosely based on a British show called The Thick of It, or In the Loop. You might have seen the movie.
I didn't know that. Very loosely based.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful show about how crappy it is to be the vice president.
Yeah.
Basically, essentially powerless.
Well, and I feel like it's the first show that really, truly breaks the Seinfeld curse.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of the actors just have had a hard time doing anything but those characters that they're known for.
Yeah.
But she's a great vice president.
You know,
she's very funny.
Jerry Seinfeld's done all right with his Comedians in Cars. It's funny because he's made a success with a podcast.
So there's no curse to break.
Yeah, he has no. But Cosmo Kramer, where is he today?
Well,
Michael Richards.
He had a bump in the road back there a couple years ago. Anyway, enough about Seinfeld. I thought that today.
I was just going to mention that HBO Go broke last night.
I know. I couldn't watch True Detective.
Yeah.
I tried really hard.
I think it was everybody trying to watch the last season ender of True Detective, eighth episode, and it broke HBO Go. I guess they didn't have the server capacity.
Which is interesting, even though we're not going to totally talk about cord cutting today. It's interesting because it has sparked a debate about, is Netflix doing the right thing with releasing all of the episodes of House of Cards, let's say, at once? Also a wildly popular show. But there's no build-up week after week. You just sort of watch it when you want to.
Right.
With True Detective, everybody wanted to watch it last night because you had no other choice.
Right. We did. We watched it live, which we hadn't done. We'd been watching it on demand all the way up to the last episode, but I wanted to watch it live. You know why?
Why?
I didn't want its Twitter spoilers.
I couldn't be on Twitter. I still can't, kind of. Anytime I see it, I'm like, no, just never
Twitter
mind.
Spoilers. And so it's hard. I think it's two equally valid schools of thought. I know Dana Brunetti and the Trigger Street folks were really happy that Netflix came to them, and it, I think they'd had a deal with somebody else like HBO. Mm-hmm. But Netflix came to them and said, you can release it all at once, season by season. And I remember Dana saying how happy he was about that for House of Cards. And on the other hand, you're right. There's so much buzz generated by a big finale like Breaking Bad or True Detective.
Yep.
You get so much buzz out of that. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I mean, I've got a couple episodes of House of Cards, the second season, left. I'm sort of watching them just because I don't want to get through it too quick. And
so good.
It is good, but it's like no one's really on the same schedule as me.
Right.
So what do I say? Hey, did you guys watch episode 23?
No, you
can't. And they're
can't.
Like, which one is that? I'm done. Or
I think I'm with
started.
You. I think it's more exciting. The problem is, even if it is live, you have to watch live or on demand. So many people today watch on demand that you still can't. You still aren't exactly synchronous.
No.
Half of the people watched it, True Detective, live last night.
Yeah.
Those of us who did could talk about it, except for people like you who didn't.
Right.
And we don't want to spoil it for you, so it's complicated.
It is
like most relationships.
It's complicated. The spoilers, the whole thing. What isn't complicated is news, but that's not true either. It's very complicated.
In fact, it's hard to see how news is going to go forward in the future. That's why we're looking at news apps today.
We are. And I thought that this was a great theme, especially because last week's news, big news, that Flipboard bought the competitor news app Zeit.
It's kind of sad.
Which was bought by CNN back in, 2011?
Yeah.
And didn't seem to be a match made in heaven. And now Flipboard's buying Zeit, which for what sounds like technology, it's not. Zeit doesn't have as many users as Flipboard. Doesn't even have half as many
Zeit
users.
I know there are people who love Zeit, but it was never quite as beautiful as Flipboard. But both Zeit and Flipboard are trying to do something a lot of people are doing. I think what's become clear is that the traditional way we used to read news, you'd get the New York Times, mm-hmm. Newsweek, Time Magazine, you'd go through it from the beginning to the end, and then you would have kind of this sense of what happened either today or this week. Even the New York Times, which still, of course, has a very big presence, the New York Times app on the iPad is fantastic. I read it every day. In fact, it's interesting. I don't read the paper anymore. I was looking the other day. I was crumpling up New York Times for the barbecue. Because that's the only reason. Every once in a while, I get the Sunday paper, so I have enough newspaper for the barbecue to light it. And I saw an article. I said, I remember reading this online. And I don't remember any of the articles around it because you don't see it that way. You see it an article at a time. Even the New York Times announced at South by Southwest this week that they were going to do a different kind of news app. I think one thing people are looking at is the idea that you should do social news. You should be influenced by what people, and that's what Flipboard and Zeit did.
Yep.
Influenced by what your friends are tweeting or putting on Facebook, and that can build a magazine or an application for you. The other approach, which is being taken by Yahoo and now the New York Times, is we'll still curate it, but we'll do fewer stories and we'll synopsize the stories. We can't look at New York Times now yet, but it sounds a lot in feature like this. This is the Yahoo News app. Now, it's an iPhone app, but I think you're going to see something very similar. The idea is you don't want all the news. You just want the top 10 stories.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you want to synopsize the top 10 stories. Remember Yahoo bought that program from Sumly from a 17-year-old?
Yep.
This is Sumly. So if I read, say I want to read this missing Malaysian airliner story, here's the Sumly of it. And then they've taken from a number of different sources, pull quotes and so forth. See, summarized by Yahoo. And so I can share that. And then there's more information. There's images. You can dive deeper if you want. Here's a map. And then here are more articles. And tweets, too, right? So I think this is kind of an interesting way to get social, but to synopsize and to give you just, for I think what a lot of people want, just the top story, right? And by the way, there's 10 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in all the different categories. Or actually, in this case, 7. And it gamifies it. You've read 1 of 7.
So you feel good about yourself if you read all 7?
Like, yes.
I know all the stuff.
It's all the big stuff. I haven't seen New York Times Now yet. They haven't released it. It will be coming out in the next week or two. This was in addition to the traditional New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's not for the New York Times reader. They're trying to get a new generation. Young people who don't want that traditional thing. So I think that's what's interesting about these apps. It's a new way to look at news.
You know, Zeit, you said that you never thought that Zeit was as nice looking as Flipboard. It's definitely not the app I use as often as Flipboard, but I've always thought it's actually quite nice. You can see here, and by the way, at least for now, Zeit still works. It's not as if it's been pulled. Flipboard is probably eventually going to fold it, but for now, you can still enjoy Zeit. I've got all of my categories that I've already told Zeit I'm interested in, everything from arts and culture to science news to Google and iOS apps and that sort of thing. And I've got my little profile here, and I can tell Zeit more about myself depending on what I end up being interested in. I've got a nice little history here of things that I've read or liked or even shared out. I haven't actually shared anything from Zeit. They probably would like me to do more than that. And what I'm looking at now is an overview of all of the news that I've already told Zeit that I'm interested in. So if we say, all right, well, what's this whole, iOS 7 is here. That's okay. That's actually something that I'm very interested in. And that's where this is also a little bit of a game. You know, it's the Pandora model where I say, yeah, thumbs up on that one. And then I can also say, I not only like iOS and Apple News as a category, but iPhone too. So I'll see more of those stories in the future. And at that point, I can either share this article or just go to the next one in my overall news categories, or I can just stick with iOS news in general. I like Zeit. I think it's nice. It's definitely gotten some UI updates since it was released. It works quite nicely.
I think it's a failure. And I think Flipboard is preciously close to a failure. Why? Because they're too complicated. Compare what you just did with that Yahoo Digest.
Yeah.
It's just so much more work, and you have to plus and up, thumbs up and down stuff in order for it to be refined. And I think the reason Zeit is first sold to CNN and then CNN dumps it off on Flipboard is it's too hard.
Well, you know what? I've thought a lot about this too, because of course we do news for a living, and so we're constantly trying to figure out what our best options are. And I think that it's easy to forget that for most people, they're like, I don't want to choose my news. I want somebody to tell me what the top stories are. I don't want to customize my news so much that I miss something that's really, really interesting just because it wasn't in one of my categories. So I think that you're right in that sense. Flipboard, Zeit, all of the stuff where it's like, tell us what you want to read more of and we'll give you more of that. A lot of people are like, no, I want you to tell me what the news is.
There's another problem with it, and I'm going to point to an article that was on Time. In fact, I'm going to show you the new Time mobile site, by the way, because they've done something interesting. But this is Tony Halley, who is the CEO of Chartbeat, okay? So they are a web metrics company. I use Chartbeat. It's a really neat web metrics company. But let me scroll down to this graph. Do we read the articles we share? Now, in theory, when you share an article on Twitter, it's because you think it's an important article your friend should see. Except, wait a minute. These are the articles with high read time. These are the articles with low read time. These are the articles with low social activity, high social. High social activity almost always means you didn't read it. If people are reading an article, they tend not to share it. If people are not reading an article, they tend to share it. In other words, we're sharing it because of the headline. That's the worst reason to share an article. And yet I think this metric is fascinating. And I think we've seen more and more evidence that people aren't really reading the stuff we're sharing.
Do you think it has some sort of like guilt component where I say, I don't really have time to read this, but it seems like it's written by a really smart person. I'm going to go ahead and tweet it out, and then everyone will think I had something to do with it.
I think it's partly that. I think it's partly because I want to read this article, but I know I'm not going to get time, so if I tweet it, I can go back and look for it. It's a way of bookmarking. Yeah. Do you do that ever?
Yes, yes, all the time.
But it just shows you that if you are Flipboard or Zeit, and the signals that you're getting are from people sharing this stuff on Twitter, you may not be getting good signals. Those may be articles like Upworthy and BuzzFeed where they generate a lot of sharing, but not a lot of content.
Well, speaking of generating a lot of sharing, you mentioned Flipboard being dangerously close. I hope Flipboard is not dangerously close to being shut down because I love it so much. But this is all...
I think it's a success.
These are my new cover stories. Yeah. It has a new look since we last looked at Flipboard. Oh, look, it's a little bow on Instagram.
Oh,
what a
God.
Cute little lady. But yeah, if I go back to my cover stories, I mean, this is an overview basically of what... has been shared by people that I know, publications that I follow, that sort of thing. So I've got updates. What am I reading today? I already know that that's O'Malley because he always does that. I've got my little technology section because I'm interested in it. Then I've got a little hint of what's new on Curbed SF. And then as I keep flipping through my latest updates, this is stuff that, yeah, that's being shared on Twitter, on Facebook. Again, more iOS 7.1 news because that happened literally right before the show. So this is, it's not as if it's a bad bunch of stories.
The cover stories are very random, I find. And
well, because they try to make it a mixture of all the things that you're interested in. Again.
So I have a feed also on Flipboard of Tech Meme and Ars Technica where I know I'm going to get serious news stories. And every time I check the cover draws you in because, of course, it's the big picture and it's a big part of Flipboard's interface. It usually is a little disappointing, frankly. Don't you feel like this is kind of eh?
Well, no, I don't know. I get lost in my cover stories quite a bit.
You get lost in them, but that doesn't mean it's good.
Well, it's it.
See,
again,
what else do you get? So you have a technology feed.
I've got tech.
That's a list, probably.
Yeah,
from Twitter.
It's curated by Flipboard, actually.
That's the Flipboard tech. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Not bad.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and then I've got my everything from Google Reader, Tumblr, travel.
I love Dwell.
Yeah, I mean it's Flipboard is great, but again, it's my Flipboard is not going to look anything like anyone else's because it is completely based on not just the feeds that I'm. We just have to look at that photo because I can't even really do the show without saying like I made the mistake of reminding Bob it was Monday, little Bob.
Everything that's wrong with Flipboard right there in nutshell. All right. I said I would point out Time Magazine. They've done something interesting because they've made their website more mobile friendly. And I think that's the other strategy that traditional news outlets might choose.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. This is something interesting. So if you go to time.com, as I just did to pull up that article, you'll see this new navigation, newtime.com. I'm going to say, okay. And look, they've got the hamburger menu. This is traditionally something you see on mobile apps where you tap it and you're going to get a slide-out bar.
Yeah.
This is their website. So in effect, they're saying, you know what? When you come to our website on mobile, I think we're going to give you something that looks like mobile so that it fits your expectation on an iPad.
It looks like how
Isn't that interesting?
Would expect to act if it was an app.
Yeah, but it's not. So I think that's one way to go. What do you think, though, about the idea of an app versus a website?
You know, it's funny. I was actually, I'm looking for a new chair, and so I was on Houzz, Houzz.com, and I forgot that I had the iPad app, and so I go to Houzz.com, and it always says, oh, we have an app. Would you like to use that instead?
I hate that.
And it's like, oh, yeah, you do have an app, but I initially just wanted to go to the website.
I just want to use your website.
And so then I was like, well, this will be kind of an interesting exercise. Let's see how the two experiences are different. And they're not really very different. I mean, the navigation for the most part is exactly the same. It's not as if you have any extra information on an app. And I don't like it when you get pushed toward an app if, for whatever reason, the mobile experience is just as nice or even better.
They all do it, and it drives me crazy when you go to a website on your iPad and a big thing pops up says, don't you really want the app? No, I'm on the web. I want to use the website.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
I guess if you didn't realize that there was an app available, it can be helpful, but you know, sometimes we just want to go to the website, the mobile version. Then again, sometimes the mobile versions of websites are pretty bad, and that's why they have an app, and that's why they're shuffling you toward it.
Now, you and I both use other social news apps. We mentioned before Prismatic. This is Bradley Cross's effort. He, unfortunately, even though it's an iPad app, he requires us to do this in portrait mode. But this is, again, kind of focused on what your friends are sharing. You connect it with your Twitter and your Facebook. But then you also follow people. And I think, actually, that's a more reliable way to get stuff. So, by the way, there's that article from Tony Hale on Chartbeat. And here's the article about the New York Times. So it's pretty well done, a good job in the top three articles. Two things that I would be talking about. Well, here's another one. Understand the news. The Upshot is the New York Times replacement for Nate Silver's 538. It knows what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, these are the things we're talking about. So I think it does a very good job. GetPrismatic.com. You can do it on the web. And now they have an iPad app. And I have to say, the one thing that iPad does really nicely is this kind of thing, where you have an image, and then you can scroll sideways to see more of the images. Facebook's paper is doing that. Everybody seems to be doing that now, and I think that's a really nice way to make this a more appealing thing. So I actually really like Prismatic. I don't know. Do you use it at all?
I do. Yeah. I've liked Prismatic. And it's weird because, you know, a lot of this stuff is, it's a combination of curation and algorithmic surfacing of stories. And some of them just seem to be more relevant than others. Prismatic
right.
was one of those.
It's who you follow. So you can see I'm following 72 people. And the people I follow, and these are the interests I picked, but then it will add new interests as it goes along. And then if you pick stuff that you like, I showed this last week, I think, didn't I? The tents that float in the air.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't like money news stories on this, but it'll show you what you've picked. I think this is... I mean to use it more. I think this is in some ways better than Flipboard. You can also see activity, so it's very much a social thing. These are the people who are following me, and you have search
capabilities.
This part
of these, all of these apps, is my least. I think it's the least interesting. I don't care who's following me on Prismatic or following my magazine on Flipboard.
Right.
I'm not doing it to impress anyone else. I'm doing it for myself.
Right.
Now that's just my opinion. Yeah, you know, those are always the email notifications I can't wait to turn off. It's like, I don't care that so-and-so is following me on Prismatic. It just doesn't matter. But, you know, I'm sure the people at Prismatic don't want to hear me say that. It just, I don't know why it's so
relevant. Well, it's
just
one thing. You don't ever have to go that menu item. I mean, most of the time I spent on the front page of Prismatic.
Now, how do you feel about the Circas, the Inside.coms, the Let's Summarize the News, so that instead of reading several articles that are similar, you just read the one?
I like it. And Circa's Ben Ha, the I Can't Has Cheeseburgers guy, his attempt to reinvent news.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a very interesting parenthetical thing. Ben Ha, the I Can't Has Cheeseburger guy's...
I understood it perfectly.
You did.
I understood.
It was weird.
It was good.
But it's his attempt to reinvent journalism, and I like it. But I notice I don't use it very much. It's more on the iPhone that I use it.
This is an iPhone app, although it looks quite nice on the iPad. It is technically an iPhone app, which is part of the reason that it's only in portrait mode. But all right, so let's go to the Apple releases iOS 7.1. Okay.
Right.
So you say, okay, well, what do we need to know? The whole idea behind Circa, and this really does apply to Sumly, which is the technology at Yahoo, although Sumly is
a lot of
completely algorithmic based, and Circa is actually curated by a team of editorial
wizards.
Yeah. So if I say, all right, let's swipe to read, because we've got a tiny little blurb here about what it is, then you've got your synopsis here, and that's pretty much it. Circa says, this is the story. It's short and sweet. And the idea is we spend a lot of time reading articles that are sort of similar, or maybe one of them is a little bit more relevant than the other one. Maybe one article has better information. And so Circa says, who's got the time to read all of this stuff? We'll just give you... literally the synopsis of it, because you're a busy person. If you want to follow a certain topic, if I say, you know, I'm really interested in seeing, you know, maybe people are going to have some glitchy issues with installs. I want to follow this topic.
Yeah, we certainly want to follow that. That's part of our job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then you can choose to get push notifications once the story gets updated. Now, of course, if it's something more, you know, like actually real news, like this airliner being lost at sea, this is a perfect thing that you might want to follow, because it's like the story is literally unfolding. Right now, we only know what we know. And, you know, they pull some quotes from folks from various articles, but that would be the perfect type of a thing to be able to follow and come back to later. As I understand it, the inside.com, which is, I mean, it's kind of a clone, right? It works pretty much the same way. This is also not a service that I'm using all that often, but I like the idea of a bunch of people saying, listen, we got you. We're going to go ahead and curate all of the articles that that you'd be reading anyway, only to get a lot of the same kind of information over and over. Now, this is less synopsis.
Well, this is a transcript, that's why, of the Snowden presentation at South By. So you want the full transcript. You might want that, so it's nice to be able to go get that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because that's brand new, too. I don't know.
Yeah, go back to that.
Really?
Forbes asked a firm to compare writing from Dorian Nakamasi. This is all more circumstantial stuff about the founder of Bitcoin. Forbes, yeah, I noticed you want to read more of that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested
in this.
So
Forbes is trying to debunk the Newsweek cover story, saying, well, we did syntactic analysis. I don't know if that's a reliable way to do that, but
that's just crazy.
You know,
that's just
all
nuts.
Of the things we've shown do one thing which I really like, and I use the New York Times app and the CNN app for this, which is breaking news. I want to get an alert. I want to get a notification when there's a big story that's breaking.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing to consider on these. Do they have breaking news alerts or notifications? That I find very valuable. And as I said, I use CNN and the New York Times for that. Wall Street Journal does that, a few other apps, and probably most of the apps we mentioned. And we left out one category.
What?
What's pretty clear from this is that we still love news. We want to read. But maybe that's because we're old timers. How do you get kids reading news? This is called News-O-Matic. Your child's school may actually have a subscription to this. A lot of schools use this. There are in-app subscriptions, 99-cent subscriptions. But the idea, I should go back, because the idea is to get kids into news. So they have stories that kids are interested in. They have games so kids can interact with it. And I think this is a really great idea. It's right around middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. But this is when kids start to develop an interest in the outside world, right? And so we want to see more of that. We want to encourage that. Do you remember in school, maybe did you have My Weekly Reader? Do you remember that? It was a newspaper for kids that would get them into reading paper newspapers.
No, I don't remember seeing anything like that.
Yeah. So this is My Weekly Reader for the digital age. And I think this is a really great idea. A nose typing record, a cat paradise.
Ooh.
You see?
I've already read that, actually.
Okay. So these are real.
Yeah.
They're not fake stories.
No, they're
and
real stories.
I think this is really a neat idea. News-O-Matic. Again, many schools have subscriptions to this. You can get it for your home if you're homeschooling or your kid doesn't get it at school. And it even has a nice feature, Read to Me. So kids can listen. I think, is it turned up?
A lot of people in chat say that they're a member Weekly Reader. I've either blocked it out for some reason.
You might be too young.
Or maybe it just...
A famous livestock and rodeo show opened in Houston, Texas on Thursday.
So these are real voices.
The cowboy-style fun will continue all through the week. The big
kind
Texas
of a kid voice.
Won't end until
so it's
Sunday,
identifiable.
Yeah.
Junior
this
figure skating.
I mean, if you did read My Weekly Reader, you would very much recognize this and say, wow, this is even better. You know, they've got the little fact buttons, it's interactive. I think this is a really nice idea. That's called News-O-Matic, but not free. Its download is free, but if you want to get it, you have to subscribe.
Subscribe
I think it's a buck
it.
A week. Yeah.
Good for schools.
Yeah, a lot of schools do this, have that.
Especially with, all the classrooms and their iPads. Everybody can read.
Right. If you've got iPads in the school, this is exactly the kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, 7.1 treating you, by the way? That was right before the show started, Leo downloaded 7.1.
It
didn't take that long.
No.
It's a 5-minute process. I was afraid to do it because I was afraid my iPad would brick it.
Do you want to take a break or do you want to...
Yes, let's.
And then we'll talk about the new features.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, just a quick reminder, twit.tv/IVT is our website. We didn't have a show that was live last week, but we certainly had a show that we had prepared for you ahead of time.
We did two the week before, just so you'd have fresh content.
That's right. And if you ever miss anything or you want to go back over any of our links or you say, what was the name of that one app that Leo talked about at the end when they're wearing the hats? All of that is on each of our episode pages at twit.tv/IPT. And thanks to everybody who watches live each week. Not that we don't like your on-demand people either, but... when you're watching live, you can talk to us and chat, and it's kind of fun. A little something extra.
Who wants snacks?
Me.
Now you know why I wanted to take a break.
Yeah.
It's Nature Box time. We get the Nature Box. You can get it every month if you want. It's great for a business, but great for a home, too. A lot of us love salty treats. sometimes sweet treats too, but not all of them are good for you. They're filled with high fructose corn syrup and trans fats and so forth. That's why I really like Nature Box. Forget the vending machine and get your Nature Box. Delicious, wholesome snacks delivered right to your door. Oh, this is one of my favorites. This is cherry ganache granola. It's a chocolate cocoa-covered granola with dried cherries.
I ate all of mine last week.
Isn't that good?
In one sitting.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel bad about it because it's good for you.
Now, one of the nice things about Nature Box, you can go to the website at naturebox.com and you can say, this is what I want. I want to have vegan, or I want to have low carb, or I want to have soy-free or gluten-conscious or lactose-free or nut-free or non-GMO. And you pick the snacks that are right for your diet. They're healthy. They're satisfying. I love the Italian Bistro pretzels. Those are very good, not low-carb. Oh, I shouldn't have eaten this, but I ate a whole bag of the barbecue kettle kernels.
Oh, I haven't even gotten into that yet.
Those are phenomenal. I'm not going to start them now. What is this? Peppery chickpeas. You see, that's healthful. Zero trans fats on every one of these. Zero HFCs. Nothing artificial. You can order a 3, 6, or 12-month subscription for that someone special in your family. Every business should be getting the Nature Box. We have not. What are you looking for?
Oh,
Harvest rice sticks?
Peanut butter nom noms?
Okay, if you take the peanut butter nom noms, mini peanut butter flavored oat cookies, I'll take the cranberry macaroon granola. Cherry berry bonanza.
Peanut butter nom noms.
Dried cranberries, cherries, and blueberries. I love dried blueberries.
I didn't even know that there were
peanut butter nom noms. Full of good, healthy antioxidants. Anyway, you get the idea.
I know nobody wants me to do this, but I just have to try it real quick.
What? Those are the nom noms? Those look really good. I'll talk, you munch. Get 50% off your first box when you use the offer code TWIT at naturebox.com/TWIT. Offer code TWIT. And by the way, you see, they're a good company, too. Together, they fight hunger. They donate some of their proceeds to fighting hunger worldwide. naturebox.com/TWIT. Use the offer code TWIT for 50% off your first box. I got to warn you.
These are incredible.
Your first box will not be your last. Every business, I think, should have this. You know, we offer snacks to our staff, and sometimes they're not the healthiest. This is better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd feel better about offering these. In fact, we do now.
Well, that's the thing, is like, if you don't have the option, then you end up eating a bunch of junk, because we're snackers. We like to snack.
Right.
You might as well have the good stuff if you're going to be snacking anyway.
Bypass the sweets machine.
Yeah.
So from Eric Duckman, last year, Weekly Reader was acquired by Scholastic. They operated a competitor, which I never saw, called the Scholastic News. And they announced they would be shutting down Weekly Reader. So it ended about a year ago. I don't know why you never had that.
Well, I don't.
But it was the greatest thing. I loved it. And it was a way to get kids reading with contemporary, you know, news, topical news. It was a really great thing.
I mean, I feel like I would have remembered.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you would have remembered.
I'm from Sebastopol. We were missing a lot of things.
You went to a hippie school. You probably got my Weekly Whole Earth.
It was a public
catalog.
School.
Oh, all right.
It wasn't like a Waldorf school.
All right.
There were some kids who went to Waldorf. That's a wonderful school.
Hey, I'm a Waldorf fan.
Yeah.
The only thing about Waldorf, you can't watch TV, and that's no good for me. So,
when I was in high school, it seemed like a really weird school to go to. They were gardening all the time, because there was a Waldorf school not far from mine. I wish I went there.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Bunch of really well-adjusted people who can farm. What can I do?
iOS 7.1.
Yeah, it's here.
The big thing is, they say, and it says in the notes, we are going to fix that. They don't call it respringing, but that thing where the interface relaunches and get the Apple. It's not that the whole system is rebooting. It's that the Springboard, which is the finder, the thing on top that lets you see all the icons, is restarting. It's crashed and it's restarting. But it's annoying. It happens in the middle of a lot of different activities. And so they say that is fixed. You were having it happen to you. I had it happen to me.
Constantly, and I felt like it was getting worse.
I think, my sense is, it was only happening on the new stuff with the new chip. And it had to do with the fact that it was a 64-bit chip, mm-hmm. and there were memory problems. In any event, iOS 7 is here.
7.1.
If you have been having problems with respringing, definitely download it. But it has some other new features which are kind of intriguing. Now, I just got it right before the show started. But one thing I noticed is Siri's changed a little bit. You know, in the past, when with Siri, you press and you'd hold the button and it'd say, "Hi, Siri, what's the weather like?"
And then it go doo-doo.
And then you stop talking, and then
the
it knows.
The high temperature will be 66 degrees Fahrenheit today.
I'm sorry. I should not have brought that up for our friends.
Sorry, everyone. Snowing.
But watch this. I can now press and hold, and Siri will continue to listen as long as I continue to hold the button. I can even pause, but Siri doesn't stop. This is great for dictation because a lot of times you want to think, but you know, as soon as you stop to think, so will Siri. So it waits until you release the button, and that is
really... Let me think
really,
about that.
Yeah, you better think about
Here's
that.
Here's what I found on the web.
Yeah, thanks so much, Siri. So big improvement, I think, in 7.1 for Siri. I think that is a nice new feature. There are other features, but
CarPlay support.
Yeah, I mean, do you have? Does anybody have CarPlay? I mean, you.
So apparently, my car Mercedes says that it will by the end of the year.
Yeah, in the 2015 model, but that.
No. For older models.
Oh, they're going to update yours?
Yeah, they're going to offer. I don't exactly know what they're going to offer. Some sort of integration for CarPlay for older models, so that you don't just have to have a new car.
So if you,
but that's not that isn't live right now.
At least now you won't get the 7.1 update notification. You'll have to go to your settings, general, and in the software update, you will be you can go there and it'll tell you whether there's an update available.
Yeah.
The other thing for people with iPhone 5s, it apparently fixes the fingerprint fade that a lot of people reported with the Touch ID. That's been improved. Anything else that we know about? I don't know. It's not a huge download. People reporting somewhere between 150 to 200 megabytes. It depends on the device and whether you do it over the air or you do it on your computer and then do it. But I think absolutely everybody should get 7.1. Once you've jumped to 7, anyway. I have to say there are people still on 6 because they loathe the new interface. They don't want 7. Oh, one other thing for people like me who had trouble with the motion interface, all that swooping. You notice I've turned that off. It can be turned off in more of the interface. They also say some refinements to the UI. There were always little weird things on the UI that people didn't like. You know, for instance, remember you were complaining about the calendar? It didn't have a full screen month display. Well, now it does. And so
see, I've just given up on the native calendar.
Yeah, you use Sunrise, right?
No, I use Fantastical mostly.
Yeah, me too. That's the one. And that,
but Sunrise is also nice.
Yeah, now actually, I'm still using the iPhone Fantastical. Isn't there supposed to be an iPad version of that?
Isn't there one?
Yeah, I think they came up with that. So, but you know, the iPhone one works pretty well too, and it does give you that portrait mode finally, which was lacking on the calendar. So, some nice update features, UI improvements, and so forth. It's my opinion. And I think that a lot of people like Renee Ritchie, who really follow this from iMore.com, agree. Apple rushed iOS 7. Mm-hmm. It was out. They had to put it out sooner than they wanted to. And so 7.1 really is a bunch of refinements that they meant to have in it.
Yeah.
And that it very much needed. So
well,
I
think that in a way we were all distracted by how different iOS
right.
7 looked.
Right.
So for a while, it was like, there's some weird little inconsistencies here, but look at the flatness of the icons. And then after a while, it was like, okay, well, that just looks
fix
like a normal iOS
right.
experience.
Now you should
and
fix
I
it.
Keep getting these restarts yeah. every time I, you know, switch between apps a little too quickly. And, it,
yeah.
you know, that's just unacceptable. So speaking of OSs, mobile OSs, did you see some news from the Gartner Group? They crunched some data, and that 195 million tablets were sold in 2013. However, the iPad, if you go up against all the Android tablets, is not actually in the majority.
Now, a key critical fact on this is its worldwide sales.
Correct.
And what that means is there's a lot of Android devices sold in the developing world that are very cheap, actually here in the States too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get them at the gas station now, $58 tablets, but they're not...
Really? At the gas station?
Yeah. They're cheap. They aren't running the Google version of Android. They're running the open source version of Android,
well,
so they don't have any Google services.
And tablets are determined by size, not necessarily
yeah.
by their what's under the hood.
But this is... I don't mean this to be an apology and say, no, Apple's still number one. You know, Apple's not number one, but it doesn't matter because the iPad is still the best of all the tablets out there.
Sure.
However, for a long time, nobody else had any market share. So this is a big story.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you interested in the coolest iPad dashboard ever?
Yeah, I heard you talk about that. What is that?
So Gabe in Miami Beach sent us this link to a man named Patrick who tricked out a DeLorean to make it, custom version of whatever, and has a little iPad mini in the dash that does all sorts of cool stuff. In fact, there's a video that where he does like a little walkthrough, and this is the iPad part where he like starts up the car.
Is it going to be like straight out of Back to the
Future? Can we hear him?
It should start playing where I left off.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, kind of neat, huh?
So that's a new interface. Oh, look at that, the DeLorean motor car
here
logo.
You can see all of our album art.
Love this. See, this is what I want.
And again, we've got the remote here if we want to lower the volume or raise the volume or you want to find a different song. Just
so why are car interfaces more like this?
Exactly. That's what I want to know.
Do you think iOS for the car will be like this?
Again, I think this is a neat update to the interior of the car. And again, we've got the new air vents and the knee pad.
Then he goes off into something else completely.
But I think that
this is a very happy man. Very happy.
Wow.
But yeah, no, I want it to look like that. I mean, that would be the dream, right? Is that you've got some sort of version of iOS inside the car, but then you can use your regular car
remote. Look at
that.
He's got an extra little screen there.
Yeah. He's got all sorts of stuff where I was like, this is an iPad? This looks crazy. It's very customized. It's really cool. But yeah, I mean, it is one. He's got Google Now running for the questions that he might have. It's pretty cool. But yeah, it's this is not anything that you can get from your local DeLorean.
It does look
maker.
A little bit like the images we've seen for iOS for the car. I think this will be very specific on which car you have. I don't know if your Mercedes will look like this, but these images, can you show these? Yeah, these images look kind of similar, don't they?
Yeah,
this is the idea. And there I guess there are some physical buttons as well. This is what Apple showed off. And these are the manufacturers.
Well, you know how now
Honda,
you'll
Mercedes,
get like
Nissan.
You've got these little volume controls on your steering wheel, so you don't have to reach over. It's like if all of that is integrated well, then I'm a happy camper, because that's what I like about a nice car interface already.
This is where you go wrong.
That I mean, what is that?
That's Ford Sync.
Oh, I was gonna. I'm like, that doesn't look like iOS.
And I love my Sync, but this is what goes wrong. You see, with these car interfaces, too many buttons, too small.
Yeah.
You're driving down the road. You don't want that, because if you see that, you're in trouble. You're gonna hit somebody.
That it's just so, yeah.
Make it simple.
Yeah.
And
make it look pretty.
I think we're closer here.
Spruce
with these
it
kinds
up.
Of
make it
interfaces.
Pretty.
Yeah.
So we got another email from Mike. He works for Code Organa, in fact, one of the founders. And he says, you guys were kind enough to show off our app Toon Camera in the past. I remember that.
It
was last year, maybe even a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He says, thought you might be interested in our new released app, Brush Strokes, which turns your photos into paintings with just one touch. The app takes our rendering tech to a new level. You can turn your artwork into a real painting from within the app. We teamed up with the industry-leading canvas printing company, CanvasPop.
Well, you can actually turn. You can actually get it a painting.
And then deliver the art to your doorstep. Well, I went ahead
and... Did you take some pictures?
Yeah, I was playing around with brush... fantastic brush. That's not what it's
$2.99, called. By the way, brush stroke.
Yes. I was playing around with this morning, and I was... Okay, so this is either, you take a photo, or you pull from your camera roll, and we'll
Let's not take the picture of her picking her nose, because I think
it's not picking
really,
her nose, it's
just a scratch, I know, not a pick, I know.
Yeah, just not a pick.
Yeah,
Okay, so this is this picture of me that you thought looked very nice.
I love that picture, and that's unretouched.
That's just a
beautiful
photo.
Black and white photo.
Well, I made it black and white.
Moody. I like the moody Sarah Lane.
So now, it's like, ooh, that's kind of a cool photo. Now I'm in the medium section, where I can, I've got it's basically like Instagram filters, but it's all art-based. Or I go into the hatch section.
I'm buying this. I love this.
Isn't this cool?
Look at that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm
or you might say, this is a little too much for me. I'd like it to be a little bit simpler. So this is like, it's me, but it kind of looks like somebody painted it, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got a little bit more of that like granular difference. Well, that's a nice one. It looks very, I don't know what you'd call it, like a charcoal type thing. So yeah, this is this app for $3. You have a lot of different options. Now, this might be sort of a weird example because I did choose something that has no color in it. But let's say that I chose something that has a lot of color in it.
Chris Marquardt's photo of you looking lonesome.
Right. Well, I look at a little.
Interesting.
So some of these are like, ooh, that's a little much. But if we go, again, I go back to like a bold. That's kind of neat.
I'm going to take a picture of you and see if I can make something out of it. Yeah, you're bold.
I'm hip.
She's bold. She's hip. Really kind of. That's the way I want it to look.
I love it.
It's like something's wrong with you.
Why? Because of the filter or because of my face?
This is the Van Gogh filter, I think. Wow. Can we see some other ones?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, let's use that one.
Now you can choose different filters. There you go.
So I'm going to layer the paint on.
Yeah.
See, I think this is good. This is a good way. You got to have too much detail and you can't see it.
Right.
So certain kinds of pictures are better.
Exactly. Yeah. I think when you have people, you have to be careful about...
Yeah, because their face is, like, distorted.
I think I just look bad. That's just a bad picture.
It's a great picture.
But again, it depends on...
You look like an alien.
Well, all right.
Like, you're trying to be human, but the rubber mask is falling apart.
Wow. All right.
Doesn't she look like an alien there?
My head is... so big compared to the rest of my body.
I love this picture.
Like, how do I even hold it?
Oh, this is good.
Up?
I'm sharing this one.
That is awful.
That is awesome.
No, I look like a freak.
Sign it. Look it. Look. What does that mean? I can sign it.
You because it's your art. Your artwork. See.
Wait a minute. I want to do that again.
You nut. There you go.
Leo Van Gogh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you go.
And what else can I do with that? There's colors. I could these are all different transitions, right?
Oh, yeah. You got all canvases. Got all sorts of options.
I can swipe to adjust. Mm-hmm. This is nice.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here.
Temperature.
See, yeah. You can just play with just the levels, too.
Yeah. Like I could say brighter or darker.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring up the shadows, bring down. I think you want to bring down the shadows here, right? Yeah,
I don't know what you want to do with that photo.
Bring up the highlights.
I look like a.
I love it.
Rubber face.
Now I'm sharing this on the Twitter.
Yeah. Leo Van Gogh. Who'd like to commission him for a page?
Oh no, maybe an Instagram. This would be a good friend. So we'll output right it over to Instagram.
Yeah.
Right? Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Oh, Instagram is that stupid square. Oh well.
You're not missing anything.
I know. Instagram's not available because I don't have it installed in here.
Oh.
Tweet.
You don't?
No,
but Instagram on your iPad? What's the matter with you?
Created with brushstroke.
Yeah.
Location,
anyway, thank you, Mike.
Right here.
Thank you, Mike, so much. I had a lot of fun with brushstroke, and obviously Leo is
way too much fun.
As well. Yeah. $3. Brushstroke, all one word, in the App Store, available now. Speaking of designs... You know, we have new Twit hoodies.
Have you seen them?
I've seen them, but I keep waiting for someone to give me an extra small. Because I tried on Burke's medium the other day, and I was swimming around in it.
We have both men and women sizes. I don't know. Here comes somebody with something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Somebody with
because,
something.
Because I think it really ought to. There, I tweeted it. I hear footsteps like little elves running around.
It's Burke with his sweatshirt.
So, go to teespring.com/twit if you want to get one.
But we used...
But, 99
designs.
Here comes one.
Oh, look. It's our male model now.
I love this. Okay, so there's the logo. See, I like the distress. So what did we do? We wanted a design for our new hoodies. And so we went to 99designs.com. That's where more than 250,000 graphic designers are just sitting there waiting.
Well done.
Pens poised over Wacom tablets, ready to give you a design. They just want, go on, give me an idea. And you go and you create a design contest. It starts at $199 for a design. They will submit their ideas. You go through them. You can refine them if you want. You say, yes, I want you. They finish it up and you've got it. And I love that. You're going to get a design you love guaranteed. We actually got so many great designs, we bought 5 of them. That's just the first. There'll be more to come. Whether you're looking for a new logo, a responsive website, stationery, T-shirt, even a car wrap, 99designs can bring your idea to life. Great designers. This is, designers are artists. They're talented. Don't think you can do this yourself. Honest. You want 99designs.com. In fact, we've got a special deal for you. If you visit 99designs.com/iPad today, you get a $99 power pack of services free. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in the 99 Designs marketplace. You'll get nearly twice as many designs. 99designs.com/iPad today. It's a little pet peeve of mine. People who are, you know, talented at things like cooking or web, you know, design and stuff like that, think they're designers. It's a specialty. A great designer, it's a talent. And so go to 99designs.com. There's 250,000 great designers waiting for you.
I would never begin to pretend that I know what I'm doing. This when you so... look at all of the designs that these people come up with.
Oh, yeah. Really talented.
It makes no sense. Why would I try to compete with somebody who actually has a lot of talent?
You'll download an app and it just looks like, well, who designed this? Somebody who didn't know, you know, didn't understand design or type or
Ford
anything.
Sync people should talk to 99designs.
Yeah. Maybe we'll hook Alan up with them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Match made in heaven.
I've tweeted out my Van Gogh.
I have responded. I'm way ahead of you, buddy.
Sarah Lane is an alien, I tweeted.
Yeah. Looking great.
Leo Van Gogh. You suck. Hey. Three people have favorited that.
You should have gone to 99 Designs.
Three people have favorited you suck. What is wrong with the world today?
They know who to side with.
Yes.
All right. So we got some feedback last episode. We had gotten a tip from a gentleman who said use Air Server, which allows you to
serve from the air.
Serve from the air from your iOS device, iPad, to, let's say, a MacBook Air or something like that instead of a television. Mm-hmm. Matt Schreider, who works as a first grade teacher at Valley View Elementary in Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin, says, I've been using Air Server in my first grade classroom for over a year. All the students know how to AirPlay our iPads, and it's even passcode protected to allow only the classroom iPads to be displayed. We utilize it almost every day. Best example is during a math lesson. We'll use the iPads and Air Server to display student work and then discuss options for solving various math problems and equations.
So cool.
I know. I love the school. It's almost the best part of our feedback is when the teachers say, this is actually how it works really well in something like a classroom setting.
So I wonder what Miss Madge does. Does she go, okay, Johnny, air serve your drawing, and Johnny puts it up on the... I mean, the kids must know how to do that.
That's what Mr.
So cool.
Mr. Schreider says.
Mr.?
Yes.
His name is Madge?
Matt.
Oh, Matt. I thought his name was Madge. Okay.
Although if any of the students are watching, they probably don't want to even think of him as having a first name.
No, Mr.
Mr. Schreider says all the kids know what's going on. And so, yeah, when it says, Julie, would you like to show us how you tried to solve this equation?
And a first grader could...
Yeah.
Wow.
The first graders can do anything.
That is so cool.
They're smarter than us.
So cool.
I know, it's really, really cool. Got another... Ooh, this is a good one. John wrote in with a couple of duh tips, actually. The first one I did not know about, and it changes everything. He says, if you'd like to clear old iMessages, just press and hold down on an individual message, then click more in the pop-up box. That lets you delete individual messages or all of them at once.
Oh, thank God.
Now, here's why that's interesting. You can actually sort of rewrite the history of a conversation if for some reason you thought a third party might come along and look at it later.
So you could delete the you suck part of it and just have the rest of it still there?
So like, for example...
Because it drives me crazy that there's no easy way to delete everything, right? That's the main thing I want.
I'm trying to show you a conversation that does not... include any bad words from my
give it up Lane
from my life.
I don't have any conversations because I don't use messages.
No, every single one has, darn it,
what is it you and your friends talk about?
Well, they're just awful people. Yeah. You know how it is.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Yeah. Here's Okay, so here's a little test account where I just, okay, we're good. Sometimes I text things to myself because I just want to see what it looks like. For example, I just thought that that was really cute. It's a pig jumping over a Doberman and then falling. Whoopsie.
Well, that's hard to do.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, so this is my test account. Now, let's say that I was like, you know, I don't really.
Well, you got two of them. Can you delete one of them?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, how
so
would
if
you
I
do
say,
that?
Okay. All right, you go ahead and hold. Well,
hold, press
that's,
and hold.
That's a little different because
no, it's a picture. So
yeah,
it doesn't work. With
so,
pictures.
But let's say that I was like, you know, I don't really want.
Doesn't matter. Just pick something.
Well, shh. Trying.
Okay.
Let's say I was like,
you don't want high.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
Just for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm talking to myself. Whatever. So I say, all right, hold down, and I say more. Then you say, okay, you've selected this, and you go ahead
trash
and delete
can.
It.
Delete.
Then all of a sudden, look, it's
only
as
one
if
high.
The other person
it's like
said
somebody else
hi
is talking
first.
To you. This shows a really weird feature of messages, by the way, that Lisa's son discovered. He said, somebody's typing weird things to me. I said, what? He said, watch. And he typed, and then the thing typed it back, and I said, you're typing to yourself, aren't you? I've never seen an SMS message program allow you to message yourself.
Really?
Is that normal? I don't think that's...
I use it all the time, especially for i5, because I just want to see what things look like before I, you know, pass it along as a tip. And sometimes
right.
David Prager isn't always ready to be my guinea pig, so I'm my own guinea pig. But and deleting a message is not just about manipulating a conversation. That, of course, is
that
the first thing that came to my mind.
That thing for it.
But it could be, I don't know, you've got the power.
Yeah.
You can rewrite history.
Right.
Selectively. Second tip from John says, I've started launching all my apps either through Spotlight Search or Drafts or Launch Center Pro for specific actions. He says, I didn't realize, though, that Spotlight Search is smart about the searches that you do. So if you type A and then select App Store, App Store will be the top search next time you type A,
Remember
which makes for pretty quick to launch anything from any screen. Yeah, so iOS attempts to be like, it's almost like autocorrect, where it's like, you're probably going to do that App Store thing again because that's, over time, we know that that's something that you do a lot of. So it tries to be helpful.
That's why when I type B, it comes up with Flappy Bird.
That's weird. Well, because I guess more than once you... Well, no, but you're in the App Store. He's just talking about Spotlight.
Oh, Spotlight, not the App Store.
Yeah.
We know the App Store sucks.
Yeah, the App Store is
okay.
That's got its own problems.
Okay.
But no, if you in your own Spotlight.
In the search thing
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
yeah,
if you
yeah,
say
yeah,
B,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, on mine, it's like, oh, you probably mean breaststroke because
right.
you were just in there. You
yeah.
just did this.
On mine, it says Flappy Bird.
It does?
Yeah. So.
It's probably because in your mind, you're
I can't get
bird,
away from it.
B for bird. Yeah, well, you know.
Brushstroke. I had to type two letters.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting just to know a little bit more about what comes up in your Spotlight search and why. It's based on your history.
It's always
Thank
wondered.
John.
Why? Why, Spotlight? Why?
Why do you serve up these answers
right.
that I want?
I don't get it.
All right. So we have another email from... I don't know.
Somebody else.
Somebody that's very nice who says, we recently upgraded our iPad to iOS 7 last week. Woke up this morning to find it asking for a passcode to unlock the iPad. Kind of weird. We definitely didn't have a passcode on this device before.
Well, go ahead. I'll tell. I shouldn't interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay. It basically locked us out by itself. After some research, it seems that other people are having this problem. One way to fix it right now, at least, is to factory reset or restore the iPad, which we had to do. Seems to happen randomly, not just right after the upgrade. I see you shaking your head. They then showed us a discussions forum over at Apple.com that shows that that people had the same problem. So what's going on?
I am suspicious. One of the things we noted is that when you do the upgrade to iOS 7,
mm-hmm.
It says, the very first thing, give me a passcode. This is not the behavior iOS has had in the past. Apple really wants people to use passcodes. So I'm thinking, because I know it says, give me a passcode. I'm thinking people entered a passcode so they could continue with the thing, and then they forgot they did it. It's the very first thing that happens when you upgrade to iOS 7. Now, if you do that and you don't want to use a passcode, immediately go to settings and turn off the passcode, right? I think they entered, because you have to enter a code when you upgrade to iOS 7, and so, I think they forgot it.
But this was all part.
Remember? Do you remember when you went to 7? All of a sudden it says, okay, now you need to make a passcode.
Oh, but I have never one anyway, did that before. So I probably didn't even notice.
They never did that before. And so I'm just thinking that most of these people went,
And then they went, what's my passcode? I don't know.
You know, didn't pay attention because they've never used one before. But in fact, now you have a passcode. So if you're upgrading, make sure you go into your settings and disable the passcode. It's in the general settings. And just say, you know, never lock or whatever it is for the passcode. I can't remember. Is it auto lock? Passcode. Well, there's a passcode entry.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you're just going to say enter your passcode, which you don't remember. I would try 1111.
You have to enter your passcode in order to.
No, I'm just saying you probably because you. Yeah. You know, you probably went. Oh yeah, whatever. Blah 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 blah. I'll never use that. There is a skip button, but I think people just go blah 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 blah.
I think a passcode is a good idea. I know some people are like, I just never, ever, ever have anybody who's ever going to look at my iPad.
Until
and it's
you
fine.
Lose your iPad. But and yeah, then you go, oh.
It's such an easy thing to don't use 1111, but just such an easy thing to have. And then, if it ever gets, peace of mind.
I just think this, I haven't seen this paper. Maybe it's true that it does, and I shouldn't poo-poo this. I'm sure it does happen. But I also think that sometimes people, when they upgrade to 7, they've never used a passcode. All of a sudden, they're presented with a passcode. They just go, whatever. I'm never going to use that anyway. And now they forget that they did it.
So remember a couple weeks ago when you showed off the Mickey Mouse Disney, what was
Love
the name
that.
Of it? And I said, are kids still into the Mickey? I don't know. I'm not a kid. It's been a while. And we actually got a voicemail of somebody who has an answer for us.
What's up, guys? This is Mike from Texas. I just finished listening to episode 188, and I wanted to let you know I've got a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and Mickey Mouse is alive and well and thriving. It's one of the most obnoxious shows I've ever watched, and is always in my house.
It's not worse than Barney, I guarantee you.
About Mickey anymore. Also, I wanted to let you know that reset button you were talking about in settings does get rid of your foliage because I tried it, and everything is gone. So consider yourself warned.
All right, it does erase everything. So, and by the way, Brian Burnett sent us a video of, was that you playing the original Castle of Illusion?
No.
He said that this game, of course, was an old Sega game, which he played as a child, insanely difficult game. I hadn't played this on the Sega, so I will have to remind people that if you haven't played this, or if you played it on the old Sega, this is a much updated and really beautiful version. Of this game. There's the original. The graphics are so much prettier on the new Castle of Illusion.
I'll say. Look at that. And emerged
once again it's really beautiful.
But it was Mike from Texas, thanks for letting us know what the kids like. And I'm sorry that you're having to live through it.
Hi, boys and girls. Hey, it's mushrooms.
Okay, you're screaming.
Okay, sorry. It is still hard, by the way.
It's cute.
I really love how they've updated it.
I guess something like Mickey Mouse is just, it's a timeless thing. Kids are never going to get sick of Mickey. Wow.
Unless he dies.
He died in a not too violent sort of a way, though. That would be traumatic
Mickey
for children. He just sort of.
See, same mushrooms and everything.
It's very Mario.
Swing.
But it's Mickey.
Yeah, it's Mario with Mickey.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know. Yeah. Hey, and who wouldn't? Hey, we love hearing from all of you, your feedback, your tips, your duh tips, your whatever. Always appreciated. Thanks to everybody who writes us and calls in and tweets at us each week. iPadToday@twit.tv is the email address. You can send us videos or links or just a lot of thoughts about what you had for lunch. Whether or not you like your nature box. Saw a couple people saying, all right, I'm sold. I want those peanut butter nom-noms.
I want those peanut butter nom-noms myself.
757-504-IPAD is the number to leave us a voicemail message like Mike in Texas did. Thanks, Mike. Just keep them coming. You help make our show each week.
Even Ozzy wants a peanut butter nom-nom.
Well, you're not going to have
it's
one
not
because
good for you, Ozzy.
All mine.
Yeah, no, you can't have a peanut. He's arrived. Yes, I heard they were here doing snacks.
Hi, little puppy. I don't have any num-nums for you. All mine.
You know, we live in a really interesting new world. I think one of the things that I am very excited about is the idea of micro-lending, the idea of instead of going through big financial institutions to start a business or to pay off loans, maybe get rid of credit cards, people are lending peer-to-peer, one to another. You've heard about this from the first world to developing nations, but it's actually happening in the United States, too. There's a very popular new site, a startup called Prosper, PROSPER.com. It's a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that brings together people who need money with those who have money to lend. If you go to prosper.com/twit, you can find out all about it. If you knew that within 72 hours you could get as much as $35,000 to cover your needs, what would you do? Would you pay off those high-rate credit cards with a new low-rate loan? Would you start a business? I think it's such a wonderful idea to start your own business. But sometimes you need a little help, you know. Do that home improvement project. It couldn't be easier. You fill out an online application. You provide a few details. You will see a rate online almost instantly. Prosper offers low fixed rates. These are unsecured loans. I understand. No collateral is required. There are multi-year terms available. It's Silicon Valley's answer to the old and going away, I hope soon, way of getting money. You'll never step inside a bank. There are no outrageous fees. Interest rates are fixed. They don't go up. 2 million members are ready to lend you money. They've already funded $900 million, almost $1 billion in loans. This is such a great idea. By the way, going to prosper.com and filling out that form will not affect your credit, so you don't have to worry about that. Prosper.com. For a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Amazon gift card. When you get your loan, go to prosper.com/twit, a special site just for our viewers. You see it right there. Up to $35,000. In just 3 days, and a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. Prosper.com is not affiliated with Amazon. For gift card details, visit the website prosper.com/twit. And we thank Prosper for their support of iPad today. Really a great new idea in making funding happen.
I've got some options.
Do you have a hat?
Well, I think I'm going to go with Smokey the Bear today.
You're going with Smokey the Bear.
Bill.
I should go with something similar.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Hi, Smokey.
Oh, hey, Leo.
I'm your friend Boo Boo.
Oh, what now? How do we talk to each other?
I don't know, Smokey.
Wait, isn't Boo Boo...
That's Yogi.
Yeah.
Yogi, Boo Boo,
Yogi.
Smokey. What happened to this hat?
You know who that always used to confuse me as a kid? What's the difference between Yogi Bear and Yogi Berra? I mean, that's an honest question when you're a child.
Right, because you don't know.
Because you don't know.
Yogi Bear, of course, the famous baseball coach.
Right. But
who Yogi Bear was a joke
right,
on his name.
So you'd hear Yogi Bear and you'd be like, oh, yay, cartoon. Oh, that's...
Hey, Mr. Ranger. Yeah. Is that a picnic? Is that a nature box? Yum.
You know what? Yogi would love nature boxes.
I think so.
I think if they updated Yogi Bear, they should have him stealing not picnic baskets, but nature boxes.
When I was a kid, we had a framed photo in our bathroom that was Smokey the Bear pointing.
Only you could prevent forest fires.
Only you can prevent forest fires. It's like, were my parents making sure I wasn't like a pyromaniac or something?
What is that? That is weird.
It's kind of a weird thing. I mean, it didn't seem weird until
that
right
was in
now.
Your bathroom. Does that make you want to poop when you see that?
No. Well, it said only you can prevent forest fires specifically. Well, that one is just
you know, after
only
a while,
you.
After a while, he didn't have to say prevent forest fires. You'd see Smokey.
Right.
He'd be pointing at you.
It'd be like, Uncle Sam, I want you. And you know
you.
Exactly what.
Only you.
You'd serve your country. Anyway.
We wear silly hats as a way to honor our wonderful application of the week.
That's correct. Leo and I both choose an app that we like and we think is cool.
Didn't say only you could flush the toilet, did it?
No, it said only you can prevent forest fires, and it was Smokey the Bear pointing, wearing a hat.
Like that?
It didn't. Forest fires, it said. Forest fires. This is a different one. I don't know.
That one's very 3D. That looks like it's rendered Smokey
this
Bear.
I mean, this is like 1978.
Yeah.
So this is a different version.
And knowing your parents, it was probably the 1930s Smokey the Bear. It was a retro. It was a sly nod to graphic art from
really
the 30s.
Really weird stuff that only as an adult people have been like, that's a very strange thing. Mm-hmm. Why do you have it on your wall?
Have you asked Linnell?
No, but Linnell, maybe you'd like to tell me
why was Smokey the Bear?
We had that in our bathroom. It was a bathroom thing too.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about apps, shall we? I've decided that my app of pick of the week, my app cap of the week, is iTunes Festival. What's interesting about this?
Almost made it my pick.
Did you?
Yep.
I'm glad good you choice. Didn't, because that would have been awkward.
Good choice.
So what's interesting about iTunes Festival is we heard a little bit of a little rumor from John Gruber over at Darien Fireball last week that iTunes Festival was going to require iOS 7.1.
Yeah.
And iTunes Festival is happening at South by Southwest, the music portion of the conference, which starts tomorrow. And that means that iOS 7.1 might be right around the corner. Well, it didn't really work out that way. 7.1 came out independently from this app, which doesn't require 7.1 because I haven't actually upgraded yet.
And it works.
But it does work. And this
that makes sense. You wouldn't expect Apple to do that.
No. Yeah. But it was, you know, it was interesting timing nonetheless. Everybody got what they wanted. Now, iTunes Festival, we've talked about in the past. What's different about this is it usually takes place over the summer at a big music hall in London. And they've done it for the last couple of years. It's also an Apple TV app. And these are high production value performances from a variety of artists, different music genres.
Apple TV updated today. I bet that's why. So they would have the iTunes Festival.
iTunes Festival actually was an app last night.
Oh, okay.
Because I was having HBO Go problems, and I noticed that it was right next to it.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it was pushed out sometime over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's what's nice about this is, again, this actually hasn't started, so I'm a little bit ahead of myself. But
soon, though.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow. What you can do is say, all right, Schoolboy Q, actually, I really like this guy. He's, like, my new favorite rapper, right? All right, well, let's find out. Okay, he's featured. That's cool. Let's go ahead and add to my calendar so I don't forget when the concert goes live. So that's kind of neat. Yes, add this to my calendar. Then it adds this nice little event there. So that works out well. Or I can be like, well, what's he do anyway? You can go ahead and view his latest album, which is obviously what he's promoting, and that's why he's on the bill. Definitely not safe for children. If anybody wants to download this, that's all up to you. I can look at the lineup and say, all right, well, who's...
He's wearing an app cap, too, which
is wearing an app cap. That's why I like him so much. And he's a schoolboy. So you know that he's into learning. But, yeah, you've got March 11th, March 12th, March 13th. I mean, these are really big acts. You've got anybody from Willie Nelson to Pitbull to Capital Cities to Coldplay.
And these are what's nice is these are live concerts you can watch in their entirety. Really good sound. That's why you want it on the Apple TV too.
Yeah,
and
but you don't have to. You can watch them on demand afterwards.
Yes. And in the past, they've been in London, so they've been live in the afternoon. Now they'll be live at least in a time zone near you if you're in the U.S. I guess if you're in London watching the show, you're pissed. Because it's no longer a reasonable time for you.
I guess. Well, but again, these are performances where I've very rarely in the past, because there have been a few...
You didn't care about live.
There have been a few artists that I'm like, oh, I really don't want to miss it. But
right.
If I don't watch it live, it's still just as nice after the fact.
Right.
It's completely free. You know, it's a service that Apple is providing, not just an app, but actually getting the acts together. And the whole South By thing is interesting because they've actually pared down their lineup. It used to be like for the entire month of June.
It was a 30-day thing, yeah.
Right? And now it's March 11th through the 15th. But again, big acts. There's obviously Soundgarden. I don't know how they got in there. I guess Soundgarden's back.
Are they not a big act?
Well, they were in 1994.
Oh.
No offense to Soundgarden, of course. I just, I don't know, maybe they have a new album or something. And then, of course, you can view the lineup in Austin local time because, of course, around the world, they're
different times
that you would be awake. Yeah. But I love it. I think it's well worth keeping abreast of. And yeah, if you have an Apple TV, it's just going to show up in your apps. But if you have an iPad and...
You have to download it.
Yeah, well, it's an update, really. It just updates from... If you already had the iTunes Festival, it's an update. Or just download it right off the bat. And it doesn't need 7.1, so... Go nuts.
You get the feeling this is only... It's simply because the folks at Apple love music. There really isn't any commercial benefit to them. Maybe they sell a few songs, but I just really get the feeling that just they love music and they want to share it with people.
Yeah.
I have two. Now, the reason is we didn't do a show last week. Over the last 2 weeks since you've been here last, I've become addicted to a game that Steve Gibson told me about. But I've mentioned it on so many shows, I don't feel like it really, you know, is an app cap. So I've got two. So let me first show you Rails. This is the... the game that Steve Gibson turned me on to. $3. Don't get it because it's just addictive as hell, at least for some people. Some people think this is really a boring game. The idea is you are running a train rail yard. Let me move my app, my iPad back a little bit here. I'll continue the game because, well, because I don't want to miss. And when you first start, you don't have any rails or stations, and it slowly adds stations and trains. And the idea is you have to use switches and lights to route the trains, and, of course, you get more complex trains. Let's speed this one along. I have some power-ups. I can speed that up. You get more complex trains. You get slower trains and faster trains, sometimes multiple stations. It can get a little bit hairy. For instance, this gray train, you can't route it. It has to go straight through to a station. This is the red station, the yellow station, the blue station. A train coming out of the red station that's yellow has to go to the yellow station. Sometimes, though, as a train's pulling into the station, other train's pulling out, and you can have wrecks. It can get very scary and hairy. It is a lot of fun. It's kind of a... I wouldn't say strategy game. It's not a fast-paced game. It's kind of slow.
But it's for train people.
The funny thing is it gets more and more complex. It's kind of, if I go to the levels menu, you'll see, it's kind of, you know, like the cut the rope model or the Angry Birds model where you have multiple chapters. I have an unlocked chapter 2 and 3. And each chapter has multiple maps and you can get 1, 2, or 3 stars in each one. I have never gotten 3 stars on any level. It's very, very difficult. Steve Gibson's playing it the way some people do, where he doesn't leave a level till he gets it perfect. I don't care. I want to get to the next level. So if I can get through a level, I will. That's a fun game, very addictive. If I start a new level, you'll see that it tells you what trains there are. There are 6 stations, set records with regular trains. There's only one kind of train. This is how you start, and you have to draw the rails that go from one station to another. And the trick on drawing the rails, by the way, I'll just pass along a little strategy tip, is you really want to be careful to make sure there's a way out. And you don't want to do, what you don't ever want to do is right angles. Everything should be merging into something else. See, that's a right angle crossing a track. That's bad. You don't want to do that. Anyway, just a couple of tips. That's not fair because I've shown this so many times now that people who are watching this... Thomas the Tank Engine! The people who are watching this say, wait, Leo, that doesn't count. You've done that before. So let me show you another one. This is great. Just came out. Really like it. It's called Smash Hit from Mediocre Games. Ooh. It's far from mediocre.
All right.
This is more of an action game, but a little strategy, too. The idea is we're going to go through a maze, and we've got to throw balls to smash obstacles or hit targets as we go. Let's throw a ball. If you like to smash stuff... this is going to be a fun game. So it's kind of like a racing game with target practice in it. And it's as easy as it looks because I just happen to be super good at it. We're in a very easy level.
I feel like this is like a stress reliever.
It's for people who like to break things.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Little Inferno for people who like to set things on fire. This is for people who like to break things. Now you got to hit that to get the door open.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's fun. And you can hit these to... but you only have limited number of balls. You get more balls as you... oh!
It almost has like a sci-fi quality.
It does. It's kind of interesting,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's cool.
I really like this, and I just love smashing things. You have to be quick, and you have to be accurate. And then... oh, see, if you miss things... you can,
it seems to be speeding up a bit, too.
Yeah, where it's getting... oh, it's getting harder. This is called something. I don't remember the name because it's...
Smash Hit.
I'm a little busy right now trying to save my Smash.
It's free, though.
There's a premium version. I don't understand how it works either. I think there's in-app purchases. I don't know. This is fun, don't you think?
Yeah, I like
it. It's the kind of game... you don't like games that make you nervous. This is the kind of game that's going to make you nervous.
Well, but there's still a...
but it's satisfying because you're smashing stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're just... yeah. This game wouldn't bother me as much as... ooh.
And any game with unlimited balls is a game like I to play.
I'm totally 100% with you. Unlimited balls, always a good thing. You don't want to run out of balls.
Okay. Oh, you see, I hit it. So a crash loses 10 balls. This is a fun game.
I like it.
Yeah. Smash it. So there's two games,
you've
two for the price of
you've
one.
You've got Rails for $3.
I should really wear two hats, shouldn't I?
You should.
Just
you,
to make
this
it.
Been, this has been one of your things. You've been doubling up on the app cap because
I felt guilty. I didn't really want to take credit for Rails because I mentioned it so many times. Not on this show, though.
Well.
Right? So I felt like I had to.
Yeah, okay.
But I, but so there you go. Two for one.
So I have a little extra fun thing.
Yeah.
While we were talking, my mother went and took a picture of the Smokey the Bear picture.
Linnell, I love you.
And it turns out that it was a cat the whole time, and I forgot.
Oh, this explains a lot. This explains.
This was in my bathroom for
you've been programmed.
The first 20 years of my life.
You've been programmed.
I forgot that part. I remembered it as a bear, but it was a kitty.
That's bizarre.
She still has it, clearly. To, I can tell. Can, that's her kitchen counter over there.
Can you, does she have an explanation?
I think it's probably just something that my mom was like, oh my God, so cute. And then my dad probably said, I don't want to look at that. And so it went into the bathroom.
Ended up in the bathroom. Wow.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
explains so much about
I
you.
I know. I know. That's just the tip of the iceberg, too. It just gets weirder and weirder.
I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know. Maybe over the years, as we do iPad today, more and more will be revealed.
See, it's not my fault.
You're weird because you've grown
up that
way.
I learned it from watching you.
It's their fault.
But yeah, so anyway, thanks, Mom. You're the best.
Bunny Emerald says it predates her.
Okay, I guess it
comes
was...
from the Lane side.
Oh, the Lanes. Well, they're weird too. I just don't even get me started with that. Okay, well, okay, so you're, it's not your fault. So,
only
somebody
you
had it.
Can prevent litter box fires. Thank you. Thank
and
you
with that, I think we've come to the end of this episode of iPad Today, episode 189, in fact. A good one, if I do say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will see you next Monday. We shoot the show at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern.
1800. 1800 UTC, because
UTC.
We are now in summertime. So we change UTC does not.
I see.
Somebody said you should just stick with UTC, but then all of the hosts would be confused because the shows would be at different times.
Right.
So we're gonna stay at 11 a.m. Pacific, but that's now 1800 UTC.
Correct. Thanks, everybody, for watching. See you next time on iPad Today.
Oh!